Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
There's many ways, my family, there's many qualifications, rather, that are available on the qualifications and the higher education space here in South Africa. Many qualifications. And of course, there's certain criteria that must be applied in order for us to receive those qualifications. 37 minutes after one, that is your time. And we have absolute pleasure joining us on the line, Dr. Whitefield Green, who joins us this afternoon, Chief Executive Officer of the Council on Higher Education, to clarify for you and I, what are some of the criteria that are required for a doctorate to be conferred, number one, and what's the whole deal around bogus qualifications? Dr. Green, good afternoon to you, sir, and thank you so much for giving us your time.
Good afternoon, Ayanda. Thank you very much for the invitation, and good afternoon to your listeners.
No, fantastic. You know, first of all, I've seen some of the work that you've done in the higher education space, and I want to say, I think as far back as my student days, thank you so much for your contribution and for clarity and for the high standards and the high and very attainable standards that you've set in this space. We truly appreciate your work, Dr. Green, and thank you again so much. That's, I think, the first point.
Thank you very much for those kind words, and I certainly convey it to the council and to all my colleagues.
Fantastic. Dr. Green, we've seen a spike. I mean, graduation season, between people wearing their traditional regalia on stage and doing all those beautiful dances during graduation ceremonies versus, moms who are absolutely excited in the audience. Versus every season seems to have its own unique sort of display, and this year in particular, the spotlight has been on the conferral of doctorate degrees that were not necessarily official. Let's start off by understanding, Doc, what does it take, or rather, what should we look out for with regards to the officiation of a qualification in the higher education space?
Thank you, Ayanda. Let me just start off by saying that obtaining a qualification in higher education is certainly an achievement, and congratulations to all the graduates who will be graduating in the ceremonies over the next while. I think it's important to understand that a legitimate qualification is a qualification that is offered by a higher education institution that is recognized as such in South Africa.
Right.
And there are a number of requirements. So obviously we have 26 universities. Those universities are established by the state. They are public institutions. And they legitimately can offer qualifications, ranging from higher certificates right up to doctorates. Then we also have private higher education institutions. Private higher education institutions can operate in South Africa, and they're increasingly making quite a huge contribution. But in order for them to operate, they must be registered by the Department of Higher Education and Training. And then both universities and private higher education institutions, in order to offer qualifications, those qualifications must be accredited by the Council on Higher Education, which is ourselves, and they must be registered on the National Qualifications Framework, which is the responsibility of the South African Qualifications Authority.
Maybe let's take it then, Dr. Green, let's take it two steps or three steps backwards, right? So the incumbent coming into any institution here in South Africa, right, they will not they may know where to look for the institution to determine whether or not it's registered, but they will not necessarily know, or have access to understand the accreditation of the qualifications that are offered in that institution. How does the public access this information, Dr. Green? And what are some of the steps that we also, even signals or questions that we need to ask institutions that we are registering in to ensure that their programs are in fact accredited and can be recognized as an official qualification?
So if you start at the institutional level, legitimate institutions will publish handbooks that are generally available on the sites of the institution. And those handbooks would say exactly which qualifications they are able to offer. But the problem then comes in is that illegitimate institutions could also do the same. You know, they have handbooks and claim that they are legitimately offering these. So the public needs to look at the next level, which is looking at the national level processes. And there's two good avenues for verifying whether an institution can offer a qualification. If it's a private higher education institution, the Department of Higher Education and Training publishes and regularly updates a register of private higher education institutions, which is publicly accessible on the DHET's website. And it will indicate whether the institution is a registered institution, mm-hmm. as well as the qualifications that it can offer.
Mm-hmm.
The other source of information is, so for the universities, their handbooks, the 26 universities, their handbooks can be taken at face value by and large.
Okay.
They are scrutinized quite strongly, and the universities would not be advertising any qualifications that they're not accredited to offer.
Mm.
Next channel at the national level is to look at the SEQA database, the South African Qualifications Authority.
This is amazing.
So every qualification that is registered in the country on the SEQA database, the National Qualification Framework, is on the SEQA database and can be accessed by the public. So you can look at the institutional level, but I would advise any prospective student to go further than just the institutional level.
Mm.
And certainly, if anyone has any specific queries, to contact the Council on Higher Education, and we can advise accordingly.
Sure, sure. Dr. Green, why has it become so easy? And I mean, look, it's probably an unfair question, okay? Because, I mean, why is it easy to do crime, you know? But let me then ask specifically around this particular area. Why has it become so easy for bogus institutions to boldly, and I mean boldly, do the kind of fraudulent work that they do?
So I think it's driven by a range of factors.
Mm.
And one I think really important one, and we have to be reflecting on this deeply as a country, is the fact that our public wants access to higher education.
Correct.
And seeks access to higher education, and the opportunities that are available may be limited.
Mm.
And so in that quest to access a qualification, and due diligence in relation to the institutional standing, the qualification standing, maybe not a priority. I mean, the other issue is finances. Legitimate institutions would charge fees in accordance with the services they offer.
Mm.
The illegitimate institutions would very often charge much lower fees, and so attract people into them. And in effect, exploiting the weakest and the most vulnerable in our society. I think you raise an important point about just the crime element, which I think relates to, we have laws in place, but the measures to follow up on those laws and to implement punitive measures, I think, is where we need to actually strengthen quite a lot.
Mm.
So the Council on Higher Education regulates the legal space. So we regulate what legal institutions can and cannot do in terms of qualifications. But the illegal space is something that is just out there, and as you say, it's growing, and it needs attention, first and foremost, by our legal authorities.
Wow. That's a game changer in the conversation, Doc. Certainly a game changer in that conversation, because maybe let me then put it out to you as well as the council. Now that we are aware, I mean, you know, I was looking at media reports and I was looking at, you know, tangible evidence that these institutions do exist. And I mean, these institutions have managed, you know, to deceive people that we thought were a little bit above reproach. This means that there's something that they must be doing that looks so legitimate, you know, in order to sort of reel in some of the people that have been, you know, deceived, for lack of a better word, by these institutions. What are some of the means and ways in which, as a public, Dr. Green, we can then sort of apply in our own context, even if it's, you know, anything from whistleblowing, anything? I don't have the solution, and I'm perhaps trying to see, you know, off the cuff, you know, if you are able to come up with any solutions in the meantime, whilst perhaps the higher education space is coming up with ways in which to regulate, if at all, or to manage the criminal elements within the higher education space.
So I think in reference specifically then to the issue of honorary doctorates, and the issues that have been picked up in the media just recently. I think the public must just be clear that in South Africa, if an institution is operating in South Africa, it can only be a university that offers honorary doctorates. It can be no other institution. The Higher Education Act is very clear about that. Only our public higher education institutions, which are universities, can confer honorary degrees. And so the offering of an honorary award by any other organization other than our universities in South Africa immediately raises red flags, and the public should just be aware of that. And just reach out and ask and verify, you know. The problem is there's this great space of online offerings. And increasingly, you know, that, you know, digital expansion and technologies, and we're having a lot of what we call bogus institutions operating online and claiming to be accredited outside of the South African context and not physically operating in the South African context, but drawing students, South African students, into that space. That's a very gray area at present. And very hard to regulate because, you know, the online space is quite difficult. And I think the public just needs to be extra cautious in that regard.
Sure.
If there's any question about paying something for an honorary title, immediately that raises a problem. There should be no such in relation to an honorary award. So even if it's payment in terms of the administration process or payment in terms of come and attend a session and so on and pay a registration fee, there's a problem there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we just need to educate the public more and more in relation to this.
Sure.
But if it's an award in South Africa, it can only be a university.
All right. And by the way, Dr. Green, what are some of the criteria to qualify officially now for an honorary doctorate? I mean, yeah, let me just leave it at that. Yeah?
Okay, so it derives from the naming of the word, so honorary doctorate.
Right.
And the Latin is honoris causa, you know, for the sake of honor. So you're honoring this person, and you're honoring them for an achievement, for a whole lifetime of achievements. That can be achievement in the academic space, achievement in the research space, achievement in the social space, in the entertainment space. They've made a significant contribution to society, but they haven't formally studied a qualification. So it's not an earned doctorate, it's an honorary doctorate.
And finally, Dr. Green, is there any recourse available or accessible for, let me call them victims, you know, of those bogus institutions that have conferred illegal qualifications? Any recourse available for those students or even recipients of honorary doctorates?
So for the qualifications, the recourse is to report to the police. To report the activity to the police and require an investigation. That is the legal route. Financial recourse, I mean, you're going to try to obtain that from the institution and probably not have much luck in that. So the only recourse at present is reporting to our legal authorities a criminal activity in this regard. It is unfortunate in relation to the honorary awards. Hopefully there's no financial transactions in relation to them, but it is image damaging, you know, to be caught up in something like this. The recourse is with the institution, but I mean, if it's an illegal institution, then what do? You report them to the legal authority.
Sure. What a time to be alive, Dr. Green. Any words of encouragement, caution, insights that you'd like to share with our communities, especially around the issue of access to higher education, qualification in the space of higher education?
So I would just ask the public to just do due diligence in looking very well into the prospective institution. To reach out to the authorities, the Department of Higher Education and Training, the Council on Higher Education, the South African Qualifications Authority, if there is any doubt, and we will be able to clarify and advise.
That is absolutely fantastic. And my family, I want to send an appreciation to Dr. Green's office. And I think it's Mr. Ndogozo, Bengu, who's just also sent a flyer that we will certainly be sharing with you, my family, some of the information. They're very helpful. And it just speaks to some of the recourse action that is indeed available to consumers, to those who or to students, you know, to try and recover some of the funds and to try and exercise your rights as a consumer in the higher education space. Dr. Green, thank you so much for spending your afternoon with us. Truly appreciate you, and all the best for the rest of the year in the space.
Thank you very much, Ayanda, and have a good day, Father.
Dr. Whitefield Green, my family, who is the CEO of the Council on Higher Education, clarifying this afternoon. You know, it's so funny because when we came back from Secunda, the team that went out in Secunda, this is the conversation that we were having back in the car, you know, about honorary doctorates, especially in the Christian space, my family. So there you go. Official conversation with the official, I suppose, regulator in that space, the Council on Higher Education. There you have it. The only institution that can confer an honorary doctorate is a registered university here in South Africa. Oh, this is what happens with live radio. There's a follow-up question that I'd like to ask, and maybe we can try and see if we can get a voice note from Dr. Green on the issue of online institutions. 54 minutes after one, that is your time right now. Let me read you, my family, some of those toll-free numbers and contact details that might be very helpful for you if you have been a victim in the higher education space of bogus institutions after this break.
Join Given and Shal for I Am Live every Friday evening at 6. Here they welcome young South Africans to engage in insightful conversations and meaningful discussions about issues that matter. Listen live on Radio Pulpit 657 AM or catch the podcast on radiopulpit.co.za.
Isinyathelo nesinyathelo sizohamba nawe indlela yonke. Sivakashele futhi uhlale ku radiopulpit.co.za.
So there is a circular from the Department of Higher Education and Training warning students on the operation of bogus or illegal colleges. If you have been a victim of any of these institutions, please do contact the Department of Higher Education and Training via the call center, which is 0800872222. You can go onto the website of the Department of Higher Education and Training. Otherwise, contact your local district office of education, and or you can come to the offices 123 Francis Bart Street to inquire, my family. Many other options that are available on the website of how you can access the Department of Education. Of course, please do also realize that you are a consumer in the space, and so as a consumer you also have access to the National Consumer Commission, who is available via complaints at the ncc.org. ZA, otherwise 0127613000. You are certainly also, you know, eligible for legal aid, and you can contact the Legal Aid Board at 0800110110 if you have been a victim of a an illegal college or bogus institution. You know what? I'm going to start mincing my words. It's been absolutely phenomenal having this conversation with the Council on Higher Education. Thank you so much to the PR office of the council for arranging the conversation with us. Hallelujah. Nkateko is how we cross over into the third and final hour of our time together. And of course, this is the time, my family, where we do nothing but the best sounds of music in the first 20 minutes after the good news bulletin at the top of the hour. Your songs will be played back to back all the way on the other side of 2 o'clock. And we can get those songs, or rather you can send us your selections to 0826572729.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith and love on 657 AM.
In today's rush world, there is limited time for yourself. Your cell phone, however, is with you all the time. So why not use it? Visit our Radio Pulpit website with your cell phone and restore your soul. There you can find out more about Radio Pulpit, download the Bible to your cell phone, read Word for Today, and you can listen to us online. Just visit www.radiopulpit.co.za, especially developed for your cell phone. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.